Hello and welcome to the Inverted Castle, a Metroidvania podcast. I'm an aquatic amnesiac, Thomas Blight, with my co-host, Eric Fox.
I lure sailors with my siren songs, careful not to get beguiled.
And we're talking about Aquaria. I actually remembered to introduce the game we're talking about early on this time.
Okay, but who did it?
Who did Aquaria?
Yeah.
Oh, geez. I remembered the name and now I don't.
It's fine. It was an indie duo who went by BitBlot. They were a pair of indie developers back in the day, Derek Yu and the late Alec Holavka. Derek Yu, you might know as someone who would eventually make Spelunky.
Oh, yeah. I remember being like, oh, hey, Spelunky.
Yeah, the Spelunky guy. Everyone loves the Spelunky guy. But no, this game came out about 2 years before the original Spelunky release, back in 2007.
Then Alec is also a guy who went on and made some other well-known indie things, like Towerfall and Night in the Woods.
Yes, before unfortunately passing in 2019. But regardless, this game is an interesting take on the genre, I would say, in that there's almost no platforming. You can make the case, but instead, it takes place entirely under the sea. I hear it's better down where it's wetter. Do you want to take a stab at, like, kind of giving a broad overview of what this game actually is?
Yeah, I'm trying to think of a good way to describe its control scheme, because that's also not very typical for a Metroidvania.
Yeah, it's entirely swim-based, but...
And I also didn't actually use the proper control scheme. I used controller, but it's very mouse-based.
Yeah, using a controller is kind of basically a hack of mapping a mouse to analog sticks.
Yeah, and I had some fun with that.
I myself used the... as God intended, I would say, the control scheme of mouse, keyboard, and just a lot of memorization of hotkeys, because this game, I feel, I'm of two minds, but it definitely needs them at times.
Yeah, I didn't realize that there were hotkeys available on the keyboard. Not that I would have been able to use them well on the controller. I just got really good at inputting the songs.
So we should probably actually explain what that even is. So
the basic controls, just because it is actually somewhat different from most Metroidvanias, are you use left mouse to move to a place, and if you left mouse further away, you'll move a little faster.
Yeah.
It can also spin you if you spin it around you. And then right mouse is, the basic right mouse thing is sing, which gives you a radial menu of things to input.
8 different notes corresponding to, yeah, 8 directions around you. Also color-coded and symbol-coded for each note.
Yeah, color-coding could have been a little more distinct for me. Again, colorblind problems. Not too bad.
I don't have colorblindness, and I had a lot of trouble distinguishing between the light green and the lighter green, and the orange and red-orange.
Yeah, most of the time it was coupled with the symbol, and that's made it fine.
Or you just didn't have a time pressure and there was a visual indication of you singing the right note regardless.
Yeah. So with the songs, you transform into different forms, and then that changes what the right mouse button does, including shoot.
Shoot. There's tackle, essentially. There is become bright light, another kind of shoot, and I think also become spirit?
Yeah.
You stop time and dissociate from your body for a set amount of distance.
With the mouse controls, what's discard form?
You can either hit X, or, and this is something I didn't discover till later, because it wasn't actually on the, like, remappable keys list, but the number keys, 1 through 8, will just instantly swap between forms.
Oh yeah, I found them after I had finished the game and was looking something up, and was like, oh, huh.
Yeah, same.
So I used a controller. The game has default controller support, but I had some odd problems with it for some reason. So it does this thing where it tries to keep your mouse cursor in the center.
Okay.
What that resulted in for me, and that was kind of odd, was it constantly thought that I was putting the mouse cursor to the left.
Oh, it just wasn't aligned properly?
Yeah. And that meant that all of my shots came out of the left side of me. I couldn't look anywhere except leftward initially.
That's so weird.
Which wasn't actually a problem because the basic attack you get is homing.
Yeah.
Until I got to the plant form and then discovered that I couldn't shoot the plants anywhere but leftward.
They no longer home, and you do need to be somewhat precise.
Yeah, so I had to actually, a couple hours in, switch to the Steam controller support, which basically just treated my right analog stick as controlling the mouse.
Okay.
I never figured out a great setup for that. My ideal would have been treating it as if whenever I stop touching the analog stick that it reverts back to center kind of thing. Never figured out a way to make Steam do that, but eh.
Huh. I'm sure there's a way, but again, like, this is very much a hack upon a hack of the game wasn't really designed for controller support. It really, really wants you to use the keyboard for the various menus it has.
Yeah, but like mapping the controller buttons to the keyboard buttons did allow me to do things, and it allowed me to do things like being able to move in one direction and shoot in a different direction, which I don't think you can actually do without using the keyboard.
You can use WASD to swim, and so you can use that, but it's not a great solution because, again, like, your left hand on the keyboard is wanting to do other things as well as move, so.
Yeah, it also had some odd side effects. The mouse buttons and the keyboard buttons that are roughly equivalent to them are not actually the same.
Not quite? In what way?
The mouse buttons will always make you go towards the mouse cursor.
Okay.
But the keyboard buttons won't.
They're set directions.
Yeah, and then the other weird thing is that the keyboard buttons don't work in the menus.
Oh, okay. You need to, like, select via, like, your analog stick mouse?
Yeah, so I actually had to bind one set of triggers to the keyboard buttons and use those regularly, and then the other set of buttons was my left and right mouse buttons that I used in the menu. It was dumb. I mostly just grabbed the mouse and used it in the menus.
Yeah, that sounds like the actual solution is just grab the mouse.
Yeah, so that's our weird aside about controls.
Oh, they'll come back, probably.
I don't know that I loved the control scheme of this, but
So here's the thing. When you get into this underwater combat, for the most part, you're just using the, like, homing shots, and it's fine. It's when you need to juggle forms between, like, okay, so this boss has several phases or, like, steps to hit it. And so, okay, I need to hit this thing a bunch of times and then revert back to my normal form in order to sing so that I can then, like, use the one ability that binds objects to you so you can, like, throw them or whatever. And so there's this, like, this juggling act you're doing of swapping between forms, and especially before you know about the hotkeys, it ends up being, like, it goes from being, oh, like, a really cool, like, ocarina style, like, you know, just playing your songs and it fits in with the themes, it's all good, to, God, I wish there was just a button, and it turns out there is, but it kind of, I don't know. I feel like having those instant swap forms kind of detracts from the vibe of the game, but it makes it play better. And so I don't really know, like, it makes it, okay, this is, like, it removes some friction, but now it's just, like, it makes it worse in a thematic sense, and then I'm not sure which I prefer.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, and, like, it is actually, like, requiring you to be pretty tight on some of those form changes in ways that I didn't love.
Oh, no, yeah, some of the, like, later, like, most of the bosses are fine. But as they go on, yeah, you need to be hot on the revert, know the song or, you know, button, and just be really quick. And all the while, like, swimming isn't the most precise thing in the world. And you also need to be avoiding danger at the same time as you're trying to swap from your form that can deal damage to the form that can do whatever necessary other action.
Yeah.
Like, well, I'll go into my list of terrible bosses later, but... it's a lot of them.
Yeah, I didn't love them either. All right, basic premise of this game
we should probably establish.
It pulls the amnesiac thing. You are some form of merperson who
water nymph,
yeah, sort of, I don't know, comes to consciousness and is like, wait, have I just been, like, just keep swimming, living?
Yeah, you gain, like, yes, what is it? Consciousness, essentially, at so,
like self-knowledge.
Yeah, like how robots do in all those terrible robot apocalypse movies.
Yeah, it's also somewhat odd in that there's definitely the implication that you had self-knowledge before and then you lost it.
Yep.
And then you regained it. I don't know. It's weird to start with. It makes some sense later on.
Yeah, some weird shadow entity basically fucks with you and then you you self-actualize a little bit and you decide, okay, well, let's explore and figure out what's going on because I feel something's wrong with the ocean. In particular, there's this idea of the verse, which is just the song that echoes throughout all of the ocean, and it brings all the life together, and it connects everything, and it's this song, and then there's you do your own singing. It's the whole thing.
Yeah, music-based magic.
Music-based magic, music-based ontology, and what you then end up doing is exploring your home waters, this interconnected cave system, which eventually branches out as you gain new abilities from the ruins of once great civilizations. Mark that on your bingo card. Basically, every dungeon of sorts is a mostly self-contained area that is styled after some race of merfolk that pretty much without exception were created by their god, and then they did a fucky-wucky that made the god angry at them, either by being too warlike, or now worshipping the sun instead of the god, or what have you. how dare you spurn his gifts? And so this god would always destroy them, and then you find their remains and usually a new song to gain their flavor of power.
Yeah, which is your forms.
Which is the different forms. And yeah, as you explore and you find new things, you also find memories of your life before you self-actualized.
Yeah, I don't know, you kind of come in with the assumption that all of these races are ancient. And it's like, no, one of them is just the society you grew up in that you forgot.
Yeah.
Like, it was within your lifetime.
It was Tuesday.
I don't know if that's actually true, but...
No, but, you usually think, thousands of years, some untold number of years, but no. It was, it could have been recent because of basically how quick this god was spawning out new toys to play with.
Yeah, and then eventually you go and take the fight to this god.
Oh, beforehand... Very importantly, you find a really hot dude.
Yeah, a hot human.
A hot human dude who you, at first, accidentally almost drown. And then you sing the song that gives him gills. And then you're married now.
Yeah.
Essentially.
That was, I don't know.
No dialogue.
That was an interesting combination of just okay, I'm going to rip your helmet off. And then, by the power of makeouts, you can now breathe underwater.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Tell me you wouldn't also follow around the singing fish woman.
I mean, yeah, that's fair.
What else are you going to do in your little cave?
It's definitely the most interesting thing going on in the ocean.
Pretty much, yeah. It's very funny that your new husband is effectively just akin to a pet. Which you can also find in this game is just little fish guys that'll attack things for you every so often.
Yeah, and unlike the husband, the pets tend to stick with you and not get stuck.
But you get a song to instantly teleport your husband to your side.
Yeah, I kept forgetting to use it.
Yeah, it's not... he'll be around in the next screen anyway, it's fine. It's not a huge deal.
Yeah, and then there's the form that fuses with him. Ooh.
Ooh, yeah, spoiler alert. But yeah, eventually, the last form you get is... You're not, one entity so much as you're both... You both just get a transformation, and you can hot swap between controlling the two.
Yeah, it's more of a weird, man-woman duality.
I guess, yeah.
You just spin, and you change. Which, funnily enough, I also did not understand initially when I got that form what the prompts were telling me to do.
Oh, no?
Because that's not how I spin. I just spin by pressing a button.
Oh.
So it was like, waggle the mouse around yourself. And I was like, I don't understand what this is supposed to be doing.
What mouse? He says, controller in hand.
I mean, I was trying to, like, put the cursor around me in circles. Not getting anywhere with it until I realized that that was how you spin using the mouse.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, oh, I get it now.
Yeah, I actually kind of like the spin, again, going back to like this whole like rotating around your character to then just do like this whirlpool attack. You can do it anytime, but in this form, it'll change you. I like doing it, even though it is actually kind of a pain, just because it's just a unique pain, and I'm that kind of person now.
I see. You just want novel pain?
Yeah, it's just... just hurt me in a place you haven't hurt before. Everything else is so bruised.
I mean, it was not a pain for me. It's also a way to attract items to you. Or not exactly attract items to you. It just, like, moves them around.
Oh, okay. If it actually attracted items to you, I would shit and piss.
It makes them easier to grab.
Okay.
Frequently.
But yeah. Sorry, we're mid-storytelling. Having found our husband, we then wrap up the last mysteries of who this god is, who is, I guess, shown in, a vague intro cutscene. But
yeah, the intro cutscene is someone falling off of a flying continent or something.
All silhouetted. It's just kind of a weird vignette before the game actually starts, and it's never mentioned until that very end. We're like, oh yeah, that's probably the same dude.
Yeah. It turns out just the ghost of a little boy turned into a sea god somehow. I don't know.
Yeah, somehow is the explanation, pretty much.
I think it was empowered by some other being, but the some other being is never really dealt with or talked about.
That's basically it. It's space magic or sea magic. Not sure, but yeah, he gains power to create other beings and then decides, like, oh man, I'm lonely, and makes a civilization, and they start ignoring him, and then he throws them into the bin because he gets all jealous and eventually tries to recreate his mother, like you do.
Yeah, this is very Freudian.
Very Freudian. Like, in particular, he specifies, like, the song she used to sing. Comes up in a puzzle earlier as well, and it's also kind of a leitmotif of the whole game. Like, the melody kind of shows up in a lot of tracks, which I think is cool for a game about songs.
Yeah, definitely there's some music theory things that you gotta build in when your game is about songs.
Pretty much, and it also makes sense for the whole, like, the creator of all of these places you're going to imbues it with this memory song. Well done. Kudos to you, Aquaria team. Yeah, but unfortunately, he's kind of a piss baby, and so you need to put him in his place. So in a very lengthy boss fight, you do.
I mean, he has kind of been building and slaughtering civilizations, including the one that you were in his weird eugenics project to make his mother love her.
I feel like piss baby encompasses all of that.
Yes. His motivations are whack.
His motivations, whack. His god form, whack. Me, I'm tight as fuck.
Yeah, and you take the fight to him, and then I didn't actually look at what the ending is if you don't get the true ending, because I had already gotten it.
Me neither. I believe it's just the secret extra scene that you get for getting all the memories. Everything else, I believe, is the same.
Yeah. So, and then there's the secret extra scene of, okay, so we've had a kid.
Yep. Epilogue,
then,
briefly.
Yeah.
You and your husband, whose name is Lee, I don't think we ever mentioned it, you managed to cross the boundaries of species and sire an heir, but unfortunately...
We also didn't say Nyjah's name either. Or Nyjah?
Did we not say Nyjah's name? That's unfortunate. Yeah, the player character is Nyjah. She's cool. She narrates the entire game. She, like, explains, like, her feelings and how she's getting, like, all these memories from past civilizations. And she just knows them. Voice acted, which is, I think, pretty rare for an indie game back then in 2007.
Yeah, no, that's fair.
Yeah, I can't believe we forgot that. Whoops, oops, whoops.
Lee never talked, right? So there's three voice actors total?
Again, he's a total trophy husband. He just floats there, looks handsome, and will occasionally do an energy blast to power up your song weapon.
Wait, sometimes he picks locks?
Sometimes he picks locks. Okay, never mind. He's your trophy thief husband.
Yeah, so real quick on the extra scene.
Yes.
It turns out that the shadowy figure you've been seeing throughout the game is, in fact, your own mother, who was made by that god.
To be his mom.
Yeah, to be his mother-wife thing. I don't know. And she apparently has ambitions of, like, going beyond the ocean and conquering other places.
This comes out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just like, and she's also like, oh, I'm the one who took away your memories, because if I didn't, you wouldn't become who you are, and, or like, wouldn't be down with joining me to rule the galaxy as mother and daughter.
Yeah.
And then she steals your consciousness, and then the game fades to black, only to reopen on your now adult son,
Lucien, who has been experiencing the entire game through a memory crystal.
Yes.
Embarking on an airship.
And then it really fades to black in credits, I believe. Or maybe not credits, I don't know.
I think there's a to be continued in there.
A to be continued, which, unfortunately... Yeah, never materialized.
I mean, Derek could still do it at some point, but...
He's got that Spelunky money. He don't need to come back here.
But, yeah.
It's been 15, 16 years at this point. I think we can put... This is just a weird sequel bait slash, honestly, kind of disappointing, oops, bad end kind of thing. Like, you could have had the happy ending, but instead we gotta complicate things. And
yeah, it was a weird left field ending there.
Yeah, a little bit. I was, you know, it could have just been like, hey, ocean's good now. Cheers.
Yeah, or like, I don't know. So Naja is now the ocean god, but she's going to be benevolent or something.
I don't know. I think it's implied that also all the different races that got, like, owned by the god are either coming back or rematerialized, or it's just during the credit scene, it's just a showcase. Again, nothing's really explicit about them.
Yeah, other things to get into are the bosses. Somewhat like Iconoclasts.
Yes.
The bosses in this are mostly puzzle bosses.
Yes. Unlike Iconoclasts, I don't think the game is well suited to combat.
Yeah.
Okay, so part of the exploration is you find items and you can, with them, make healing and buff stuff, food, essentially, which is necessary because in a game that doesn't control particularly well, you're going to get battered around a lot, and having a lot of HP restoratives is pretty much key.
That's true.
So some of these bosses are just drains on that resource, is how I would describe it.
Yeah, some of them are drains on that resource while trying to figure out the puzzle.
Yeah, I'm thinking of the one that made me probably the angriest. Like, it's probably not the worst one, but it didn't make me the angriest of just, what do I even do? And when I figured out what to do, I'm still like, ah, come on, guys.
Was it the father and the mother?
No, that was fine. I found that one all right. I'm thinking of the one in the bubble cave that kind of clings to the ceiling. It's like a mantis or crab.
Oh,
or
yeah,
something.
That optional boss.
It was an optional boss, so full disclosure, it's an optional boss. It does hide a life up, of which there are only four in the game. But the idea is you're in this tiny bubble, right? So, like, you can only exist in water, so anytime you're out of water, you're either falling or jumping to another bubble. In this case, you need to swap to your plant form to fire a plant that will knock it off the ceiling, then quickly switch back, and then you have to skirt the edges of the bubble, because now the dude is inside your bubble, and now you have to quickly grab one of the bombs it was dropping prior to falling so that it explodes on its face. But because it's like, because you're grabbing it, it's now attached to you, so when it explodes, it also hurts you. So you can either like sing the bind song again to try and like throw it. You can't really throw it so much as use your own momentum with it, in which case you're probably also just running into the boss. Or just soak the hit, which is what I did.
Yeah, I mean, you can do it in the opposite order, which is what I was doing. I was binding it, releasing it very quickly, switching to plant form, knocking him down into the explosion, but it's still really hard to do. And was definitely one of those things where that was stretching my ability to input the songs quickly enough.
Yeah, this is a case where, like, you need to use the hotkeys. Even then, it's still such tight timing of the bomb's about to explode and the platform still needs to charge up its attack in order to knock the thing down.
Yeah.
Oh my god, I was... In a game that I otherwise was enjoying, it's just, like, one of those, like, moments of just coming to the realization that I don't want to do all of this game, because if there's more shit like this,
yeah,
it was unfortunate.
I I had dumb problems with Mythalis, who is like the second boss that you can possibly fight.
Yes.
Depending on how you do it.
Yeah.
You can actually go in a different order, and I did. There's a thing that I think is supposed to be only passable with his power, but you can actually just swim very slowly through it. And so I went and got the plant stuff beforehand.
Yeah. I did too. Yeah. It's not that difficult, but no, yeah, you're absolutely open to it. The ocean is big, y'all. I don't know if you've been there.
Yeah.
But like the cave system in between the like main dungeon areas is huge. It sprawls. It goes in all these different directions, particularly once you reach open waters, is what the game calls it.
So finishing my Mythalis story, sorry. So I had gotten the plant forms, which actually sort of misled me.
Oh no.
So there's the corrupted mermen.
Yes.
Who, if they touch the poison gas, fill up.
They become a different thing. They become something you can grab.
Yeah. I never learned that because I already had the plant form, and I realized that if you hit them with the charged plant form, they will explode.
Oh no.
So I went into that fight not knowing that.
Yeah, no, they teach you that earlier in the, like, the dungeon is, oh, this is what happens when the mermen touch the thing. And then you see the boss fight of the thing and mermen and be like, ah, I see. And then it does a big sucky wucky.
Yeah, but I didn't know how to, I didn't know I could bind them. And for some reason I was really dumb and not figuring that out. I managed for the first two hit to painstakingly with the plant form, push the guy close enough to the suck range to get a hit in.
Oh no.
And then when it came to the third one, I was just like, well, this isn't working anymore.
There's no way this is correct.
Yeah. Turns out, no, I could have just bound them. And I probably, if I didn't have the plant form, would have figured out how to bind them, because you have to get past a group of them.
Yeah.
And I had done that by charging up the plant form and hitting them with it.
I just ignored the plant form unless I absolutely needed it. In fact, on that boss I was talking about earlier, it was the last thing I tried to be like, okay, how am I going to damage this thing?
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden it fell. I'm just like, oh, son of gun.
Yeah, I don't know. I never felt like I knew what I was doing with the puzzle bosses. And didn't feel satisfied by the answers either. I don't know.
Yeah, they're awkward. I think the one you're talking about with Mythalis, that was one I was the one that I'm like, okay, this is all right, but still kind of annoying to juggle luring the things in and then swapping to, like, your damage form when he can be damaged.
Yeah, the most annoying thing about this is, like, even when you do the puzzle correctly, it only gives you a, like, stun window where now you need to switch into the damage form and start hitting them.
And due to the controls, everything feels awkward enough that it doesn't feel like, oh, man, like, it's like satisfying so much as, oh, thank God that's over.
Yeah. I was like, I don't know. I feel like it probably should have just held them in that stun until you got at least one hit in. I don't know.
Yeah. The balance of difficulty for like some of these bosses is rough. If you're not like actually on point, it's just kind of a miserable, like, bosses take too long.
Yeah.
Because of that, because you'll miss windows. And you'll not be as efficient with hitting them with your only damaging move for a lot of it.
Yeah. And then there are some bosses that are just, like, pure damage races.
Mm-hmm.
Especially since they tend to put a ton of things into the water, and it's actually pretty hard for you to dodge. Particularly the three priests, which, hilariously,
yeah,
I didn't find that until the very end of the game, when I was doing the, like, going back thing, and was like, you know, I'm pretty sure I was supposed to find something to deal with these blue crystals.
Yeah, that's the three priests block the ability to enter spirit form, and then you can pass through time, and then if you hit a blue crystal, you teleport there. It sees very limited use, so you can easily get to the end of the game and not see it. I did, when I was looking at your Steam achievements that you had just, like, in, like, whatever recent session, just like, huh, I see you haven't fought the priest yet. Weird. Because you're getting all these, like, later ones. I'm just like, did he not? Or am I just missing something? And then I kind of chuckle to myself and let you figure it out on your own.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know. I feel like they would have been a pretty hard thing if I had found them at the earliest point that you could. But yeah, by the time that I found them, I had the ability to make volcano rolls.
Ah, yes.
Which massively boost your damage output and just kind of tanked their hits and annihilated them with that.
that's what you do. Like, this game actually really requires that you use buffs, use your recipes. There'll be little plant orbs every so often where if you sing the right note, again, this is one of those things where it's hard to tell which color it is, but just try them all. If you're colorblind or just dumb like me.
Yeah, I mean, it'll vibrate in resonance with the song. So it was usually like, okay, I'm either on this one or the one beside it.
Yeah.
It wasn't that bad for me.
And these things will usually reward you with either ingredients or just the item itself, and you gain recipes. Like, there's a whole thing, and that's part of why, like, navigating menus is important, because that's how you get to your cooking, and that's how you... like, use actual items. Thankfully, it pauses the game. But yeah, I think the final boss...
Oh, and there was... since we're talking about the cooking, there's also the odd thing of the cooking where there are 2-ingredient and 3-ingredient recipes. And for most of the game, you can only make the 3-ingredient recipes if you're at a kitchen.
Yeah, which is just, like, a random, like, debris-filled house. Every so often you'll find something that you can use.
Yeah, you can also do it in your own house.
Yeah, but you're rare, like, until you unlock fast travel, I am using quotes there, can't really get back to your house that easily.
Yeah, that's fair. But there is the Simon Says monster, is what I'm gonna call it.
Uh-huh.
Which, if you do it successfully, which I was actually really bad at doing and just gave up and looked up what the reward was, you get the 3rd ingredient slot permanently.
You can just make 3-ingredient stuff, which is the best stuff in the game, obviously. Usually just better versions of stuff you've already found, and more efficient use of ingredients.
Yeah, which, I don't know, I'm not very big on crafting systems, particularly crafting systems for consumables is not my cup of tea.
Yeah,
I had to grind for the final boss because I ran out of the lowest level of ingredients for healing consumables.
And you also need the low level consumables to craft the higher level ones.
Yeah.
It's so, because it's so linear of, like, the crafting is just, okay, all of these ingredients basically funnel into the same stuff generally. And so it's just like this extra step you need to do of, okay, I found some leaves. Well, these are obviously just going to make the poultice, the healing stuff, and I kind of just wish I would have just found a poultice slightly less often.
I mean, the leaves were used for both the poultices and the rolls.
Which, yeah, that was also, like, a weird thing of, okay, if I have 2 leaves, then that's a poultice. If I have a leaf and meat, that's a roll, and they kind of diverge there, and so, like, you just need a lot of leaves.
Yeah, and then if you have meat and oil, you can make a cake.
That's all.
Or no, egg and oil?
That's all that goes into my cakes. I don't know about you. Beef cake. That's what that means, right?
Yeah, and then those things combine. I don't know. At the end of the game, I felt like there was a lot of recipes that I hadn't found. Either I didn't do a great job of finding all of the like, resonant plants that give you things, or maybe I was just supposed to start experimenting at some point.
Yeah, again, like, the experimentation is always, like, a bit of a risky thing to do, just because, like, you waste the stuff if you get it wrong, and you already know useful things to do anyway.
Yeah, but, like, I think near the end boss, I got a recipe which was made of 2 things that I didn't have.
Oh, wow.
To make a 3rd thing. I was like, oh, okay, I don't know how to make any of that.
I assume I won't need it.
Yeah. And generally you don't. You were trying to say something about the last boss, and then I went on a tangent.
And speaking of the last boss and not needing things, you need health. There's a late game consumable of just have full health, which is molto bene. But the last boss has, like, 5 or 6 phases. It's such a long boss. And again, each phase is kind of still that kind of juggling act. In particular, the last one is so big, you might not even know what you've done. Or like, in particular, there's this part where you need to shoot off its eye plating so that its eye is exposed. But its eye is like a weird, like, purple sphere. It's just like almost looks like a yarn ball.
Yeah.
And then you need to keep flashing it with light, which is, like, I think one of the only times you really use the light form offensively.
Yeah, which then makes it vulnerable to switch into your laser form and shoot it.
And yeah, in order to be able to shoot it, to shoot it enough times until it turns like dark enough that you need, you know, that, oh, now I can tear it off with your bind spell.
Oh yeah.
And that's just one phase in order to free your husband so you can get back to your fusion dance phase. But like, if at any point through this you die, you have to do all of the phases prior to it over again.
Oh geez. Yeah, I luckily had tons of resources and did not die on any form of the boss.
I did. I played pretty fast and loose, and when I was figuring out prior forms, and I just kind of ran out of the big healing, and I was trying to rely on this one permanent item you get, which just kind of passively heals you while you're in song form. Oh. And that didn't work out, and I died.
I guess I didn't go back and find all the treasures, because I'm not sure I had that one.
Oh, it's a very useful one. It will, there's this one jellyfish boss that you gotta fight, and it's also difficult. Again, not fun to fight. Don't bother going back to just to have a larf. But it does passively heal you up to half of your maximum. I believe either half of your maximum or just your default starting health. It's very good.
Maybe I misinterpreted that one. I thought that one was the one that revives you if you die.
Not to my knowledge. Jellyfish hat gave me passive healing.
Okay. There is one that revives you if you die, I thought. But maybe I just misunderstood a tooltip.
Whomst could say.
Yeah, it went on a little too long.
Yeah, there's no checkpoints is what I'm saying.
Okay, I'm trying to think of all of the forms. There's, the first form is pretty much a straight up and down fight. He spawns minions to charge up your dual form.
Yep.
But it's not really necessary. You can actually just laser him to death.
Oh yeah.
What's after that? The Simon Says?
Okay, no. Okay, so very quickly, because don't want to get too into the weeds here, but it's like, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Fusion form. He steals your husband, then you laser him, then you have to chase him through a dark tunnel, so you gotta switch between light and firing at him until you chase him into this one cubby hole.
Oh yeah, the spidery one.
Wherein that Simon Says, where you gotta sing the notes that he kind of like indicates, at which point after that you go into the big form, which is the phase I talked about.
Yeah.
And then again, just after that, you get your husband back, and then fusion form, laser super move until he dies.
Yeah,
saying it that quickly, it seems like, oh, no problem. Each of these phases takes a little too long, again with this weird floaty controls, haha, floaty in the water.
Yeah, I forget how long that actually took me, but it was probably, I don't know, it got a little long for a single boss with no saves in between.
And this is also experiential, like maybe like the raw time isn't all that bad, but it felt like it because, again, the combat isn't great. But I feel like we should actually talk about what is good about this game. We've really kind of drilled down deep in combat, not great. However, swimming around in the like open caves, the vibes of just kind of, you know, like just kind of exploration, either through what is the ocean and also the remnants of once great civilizations, feels really good. I felt like, yeah, man, I can totally like just kind of chill when we're not getting attacked all the time.
Yeah.
I liked it. I liked the music. I thought the music was actually really good, really fit the ambience that you would want. And like, again, in a game about songs, gotta nail the music.
It's true.
It wasn't overwhelming, but like every time I'm noticing it, just like it matched how I was feeling in the kind of low stakes vibing undersea adventure, man.
Yeah,
I liked it. Like I liked the parts where it isn't combat heavy. Like usually, like if it's just like normal enemies, it's just spam the homing attack and you can kind of move on just fine. But like just kind of navigating the spaces, all like the different aquatic life, kind of either both friendly and aggressive. Yeah, you can hunt to get meat and otherwise. No, I kind of liked the quieter moments.
Yeah, I guess so. I don't know. I was kind of feeling at some point that it was just, like, going on a little too long. Like, I felt compelled a lot of time to fight enemies and try to get resources at times that I would have preferred to just get on to the next thing.
Mm.
But that's definitely just me being like, oh, I've got to get going on this or something. I don't know.
you want to finish the video game because you're a busy adult with many important things to do.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can see that. And also, as previously discussed, ocean big, there's like a lot of space in between the major zones, which you can kind of get lost in. I know I'm talking about a lot of good things, but how about that map screen?
Yeah, they made the interesting decision in the map screen to just like overlay things on top of each other.
And not in ways where it's like, oh, you can kind of see the other zone in the background or something. Like, they're completely separate tunnels and areas, and yet in order to see like what's there, like what the zone actually like looks like in a broad sense, you gotta open up your map screen because your minimap doesn't actually show you the shape, and then click where you're at or click whatever zone you want to look at, and they overlap, so you got to click the correct spot and hope you're not like, okay, no, wait, no, that was a different zone, no, that there is no pathway down there, oops, whoops.
Yeah, that was a little weird. And also the interesting decision that if you are currently in darkness and not illuminated, you can't access your map.
Yeah, which I think is like, because as soon as you enter a zone, you basically get the entire map for free. It just doesn't show you like it'll, where you haven't explored is still grayed out, but you see the shape. And it would kind of defeat the purpose of the dark areas if you could just be like, okay, I'm here, so swim a bit further there. It's just...
I feel like they could have had a more elegant solution to that. They could have just not shown you where your indicator was while you're in the darkness or something.
Or they could have given you that ability once you got light form.
Yeah, I don't know. I have minor annoyances with this. I feel like there was just random darkness in some places, and it was just like, oh, okay, I don't have the ability to see anymore, see the map anymore, but I can navigate this space just fine. It's dark, but it's not, invisible, as opposed to the abyss, which is actually, impossible to traverse without the...
Yeah, it's dark, just flavor instead of dark gameplay lock.
Yeah.
And it's not a particularly interesting flavor.
Yeah, I don't know. And I also found the light form kind of obnoxious in that you have to charge it up.
Every time.
Nothing short of a full charge does anything.
Yeah, I think you have a bit of a flashlight effect, but it has basically no effect at all, realistically speaking, on vision. Yeah, you gotta charge it up and you burst and you can see for a while and then it fades, and so you have to refresh it. Made any boss in the dark, which there are a couple, it just felt like a tax. It's just not an interesting thing of, okay, I need to do this upkeep to even fight.
Yeah, it's another part of the, okay, now I feel like my form changes... if I'm being slow, are just wasting my light time.
Yeah. It's disappointing because, early on, before the combat got bad, I was really vibing with this game. It's just every time you get to a hard combat encounter, all of the flaws really surface. Pardon the pun.
Yeah. And this is more of a pet peeve of mine. So this game uses what I refer to as paper doll animation.
That's the other thing. Yeah, if you've seen a Flash animation in around 2007, you kind of know how this looks.
Yeah, so you've got different pieces of the thing, and they're static pictures, and you're just gonna use rotations on them to, yeah, make it look like limbs are moving. I'm not very into this style.
It's very much a function.
It looked good on Naja.
Yeah, Naja looks fine for the most part, but also she doesn't have to walk anywhere.
Yeah, but her swimming animation is actually pretty good.
Yeah,
right?
They nailed the one thing they really needed to nail. It's just, and also a lot of the sea creatures are fine because not a lot of their parts move anyway, just fins and whatnot.
Yeah, but I found it particularly bad looking on the bosses that needed to animate.
Yes, because it's just really blown up images that you can just kind of just see the massive JPEG of an arm kind of just flailing on, independent of any other part of its body.
Yeah, actually, in particular, the last form of the final boss was clear that he was not drawn at the scale necessary to make him
that big.
Yeah,
actually, the intro cutscene, the first thing you see also has shades of this, of the boy who's kind of walking around. You can just kind of see how he animates, and it's a very awkward walk cycle. And when his home in the sky reaches its cataclysmic end, just all the different pieces, its presentation isn't great, I will say.
Yeah, I mean, all of the art looks nice when it's static.
I will say that, the art, the actual illustrations are great. Love looking at it, love looking at the sea, the menus have this, all this theming going on. It's like ancient, like Atlantean style, but in motion, it's kind of rough. It is 16 years old and an indie project. So, like, I don't want to be too harsh on these two guys. I don't know. I will say in the other two-person team game, Unsighted, they nailed it. Animations. That looks excellent in motion, in my opinion. It's just my favorite game.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's something that we haven't actually touched on yet is that there's text in the game, which is in its own lettering.
Yeah.
It turns out that's English, just with funky letters. Did you try to translate it at all? I never went back and figured it out. I think it would have been fairly possible to figure out a cipher from the things that seem pretty obvious, like the fact that home has a four-letter label.
Yeah, and also, like, when you launch the game and it has, like, start, continue, and whatnot, those originally are in the Atlantean language and then fade into English, so you could use that as your cipher.
Yeah.
I didn't go back to look at anything. Like, I kind of had the idea that I might, but by the end of the story, I just kind of felt like, what's the point?
Yeah. Apparently, there's also just in the game files, there's a second set of images for that. You can just rename the two files and it'll swap the actual English letters in.
That's interesting.
Yeah, I saw it when I was looking some stuff up later.
I wonder if that was like a planned, like, new game plus feature of, after you've played through the game once, you get to see the translations everywhere, kind of like what Wind Waker did.
Yeah, I don't know. Or maybe it was just their way of being lazy about the translations when they were testing. I don't know.
Maybe.
It's like, I don't need to translate this. Just give me the English.
Just give me the English, please. I want to play a fun swim Metroidvania game, not do my linguistics homework.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it is kind of funny for me because I was also playing Tunic around the same time and I did do my linguistics homework in that.
But yeah, but that game is also about linguistics homework.
Yeah, I don't know. I had no interest in trying to figure out this language. There were long paragraphs of things that I bet would say something. Or I think some of them might actually just give you hints to the bosses.
Oh, that would be useful. But otherwise, I think, like, the lore of the land is pretty well spelled out by Nyjah every time she has a cutscene about it.
Yeah.
There isn't a lot of, like, I don't know, subtlety. It's pretty direct about what's been happening and how people feel about it. Characters kind of just say how they're feeling.
Yeah, this is definitely not an atmospheric narrative.
Yeah, it's not dealing in item descriptions and, like, just vague allusions to stories that might have happened. It is an entire civilization is one thing and one thing only, and then this thing happened and now it's this.
Yes. Everyone is a hat civilization.
Pretty much. Oh, man.
So this game came out in 2007.
As discussed.
It was a pretty early indie game in terms of the grand scale of indie games.
Yeah, no, it predates Braid by about a year.
Yeah, which everyone cites Braid as the game that people realized indie games can be good and popular and stuff.
And also sold on consoles, like real actual games on console, like make money type things.
Yeah, I happened to be listening to the AIAS Game Maker's Notebook interviewing some people from Moon Studios and who did Ori.
Yes, yes.
They actually talked in that interview about Aquaria, so it was quite fortuitous for me that I was listening to it when we were doing this. And, like, how Aquaria was part of the inspiration for them to start something along the lines of a Metroidvania and start Ori.
Oh, that's wild.
So that was kind of a cool coincidence.
Ori is also a game I would describe as the combat is not so great, but the vibes, man. The vibes are on point.
Yeah.
But that's interesting.
Doing the context zone.
From that.
2007. I found it hard to find Game Awards stuff for 2007. I do have the Spike TV Game Awards.
Oh, hell yeah.
Which are totally non-biased.
Nyjah for sexiest girl in a video game.
Okay, it's not that crude, thankfully.
Oh, surprising for Spike.
Yeah, there are some... Famitsu had some funny categories, too, in previous years. This one, I think the funniest category here is Best Individual Sports Game.
Okay, so sports that only have individuals or just the one sport that is best?
Yeah, sports that only have individuals as opposed to team sports, which is a separate category.
Why would that be?
I don't know. Yeah, the best individual sports game, by the way, was skate, and the best team sports game was Madden NFL 08.
Of course it's Madden. I guess it makes sense that Spike's audience would be the type of people who only buy the sports games every year and nothing else.
Yeah.
But surprising that skate won, because that's not the usual fare for what I would describe as a sports game.
I honestly have no idea what the competitors were in 2007 for individual sport games.
Oh, it didn't have a... even tennis, you can play doubles. Does that count?
I don't know.
I guess maybe golf. Okay, the Tiger Woods of the year.
So, other things from those game awards. The game of the year was BioShock.
Of course.
They had a studio of the year, which was Harmonix. This was in the middle of Rock Band, which also won Best Soundtrack.
Oh, yeah. Rock Band, eh?
Best RPG was Mass Effect.
Of course.
Best shooter was Call of Duty 4 Modern Warfare.
Oh, wow.
There was also a Best Military Game. I don't know why we needed both of these categories.
This was back when, listen, there were a lot of World War II shooters and other games around that era.
Yeah. Best Graphics, Crisis. Nintendo only shows up in Best Handheld and Best Wii Games.
That's very funny. I mean, you'd expect a Nintendo to win Best Wii Game.
Yeah, which the Best Handheld was... The game was The Legend of Zelda Phantom Hourglass, and the Best Wii Game was Super Mario Galaxy.
Oh, man. Actually, think of it, 2007 was kind of stacked.
Yeah. There's also The Orange Box, which won the Best PC Game.
Yeah. Which... was basically Portal Plus.
Yeah. It also won the Breakthrough Technology Award for Portal.
Sure. Yeah. At the time, that was unheard of. The Portal technology was the game's selling point. It had some all right puzzles, but...
Oh, and because we've got to have a sponsored category, Most Addictive Video Game Fueled by Dew.
Dew's been fueling us since 2007, at least.
Which was Halo 3.
Oh, of course. Of course, Halo is the one that wins the Mountain Dew Award.
Yeah. I've also got, high-rated stuff from Metacritic. I'm not going to go through it all.
That's fine.
One funny thing that was high-rated on Metacritic was I was surprised to see a Castlevania Symphony of the Night release.
Oh, man.
Which was apparently released in 2007 for Xbox 360. This is probably Xbox Live Arcade, but...
Just had a port.
Yeah, it just had a port, and it got a high enough rating to get onto my list.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Aquaria.
In the Metroidvania-ish space, there's also Metroid Prime 3 Corruption.
That came out in 2007? Oh, yeah? Yeah, no?
Yeah.
Man, I mean, it's not the best Prime, I think. We haven't actually discussed it yet, but yeah, damn.
Yeah. But yeah, this is a pretty stacked year. There's some big hits.
Yeah, and I had not heard of Aquaria at all.
Yeah.
I was kind of paying attention to indie space at that time, mostly due to Cave Story and La Mulana. No, this one passed me by somehow, despite... I guess this is Derek Yu prior to his breakout hit, Spelunky.
Yeah, which we played Spelunky a bunch in college.
Oh, yeah. I actually didn't. I played the original the original freeware version briefly when it first released. But I don't think I played the re-release that added multiplayer and whatnot.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, I think I was also playing the freeware version, because it was pixel art, and then later versions of it was, scalers, or not scalers, I don't know. Higher definition art that was not pixels.
Glossy JPEGs.
Yes.
Oh, man. But no, yeah. It's weird in that era, just prior to what is essentially the indie explosion of both, roguelikes with Spelunky and Metroidvanias just being the default almost if you're making an indie game.
Is that the default?
It's fairly common.
In the grand scheme of things, are Metroidvanias that common?
Maybe it's just my predilections. They only surface to me as roguelikes and Metroidvanias.
Yeah. I mean, I guess there is sort of a lot of indie games seem to be making platformers specifically, which is also kind of interesting because platformers kind of don't exist out of indie.
That might be it, is that if you're looking for Metroidvanias, it's indie or nothing, which is unfortunate.
Yeah. But I guess I can also see that a lot of those platformers would then fall under the Metroidvania umbrella.
Yeah.
Right? Because the difference is, are they level-based most of the time?
It's, as always, a kind of a gray area on what actually counts. But speaking of counting, let's go to our list, perhaps? Unless you've got any final thoughts on Aquaria.
No, I think I've said pretty much all of the things that I had.
Yeah, I feel bad that we focus so much on the combat. Like, it... every time it comes up, it's bad, but in terms of pure time, a lot of it is actually just swimming around. But
yeah.
When it hits bad. So, I don't know, where were you thinking in terms of what games surround it, at least, in terms of your enjoyment?
I mean, I was thinking pretty low, actually.
Unfortunate.
And the challenge is, how low do I go? I don't know. I didn't hate it all of the time, but I also, like, I don't know, I wasn't having that much fun with it.
But you can enjoy it for any reason.
So, honestly, I'm looking down near the bottom.
Okay. Is it better than Metroid for the NES? That's dire. That's actually dire, because below that is Banjo-Tooie, which is a game that I don't even think counts.
Yeah. I think I'll put it between Yoku's Island Express and Metroid for the NES at my new number 17.
How magnanimous of you.
Which I will remind people is below Legacy of the Wizard and Maze of Gallius.
Yo, those games own, though.
Janky games in other ways, so yeah. I don't know, maybe I'm just forgetting how much frustration those games cause.
Yeah, oh, you definitely are. Like, again, like, remember that in those games we were also heavily, like, save-stating and looking up guides. Like, Aquaria doesn't actually really need that, except for a few times where you're like, okay, how does this boss even, like, damage? But you can figure those things out.
I guess one thing I didn't complain about that much, which you apparently didn't have that much of a trouble with, I really hated the father and mother boss fight.
Oh, weird. Like, I did it on my first try. It was kind of annoying to balance the two, like, entities, but...
I don't know. I found the eat a guy and then get one shot at hitting the guy's head, which also might be a problem for me because I was using analog sticks to aim. Or like, no, that one didn't actually use the stick. Maybe that was the problem, is that it purely used where you were facing and not the cursor.
Oh, gotcha.
Which for you is probably the same thing almost all the time.
Yes.
But for me was not.
Okay, so I think that was your control scheme for that one instance really made a difference.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know, there was no boss that I was like, yes, this was a great time, I had fun with it. And I'm probably a little too combat focused.
You're so aggro.
I don't know. I don't know that I loved any of the exploration and the scant puzzles either.
Okay. That's fair. No, absolutely fair.
How about you?
So yeah, so you're new number 17 or 18. I like this game better than you do, but it's mostly on novelty. I do appreciate the, like, unique aspects of this game compared to everything else. Like, again, like, this is a platformer only in the sense that occasionally you jump between bubbles of water. I did vibe with the game a lot. Again, like, I don't think I had a lot of fun, like, a lot of excitement in it, but I appreciated the moments in between, except that when the frustration hit, it really hit hard. So I think, like, not a whole lot higher, but I'm putting this just below Ori and the Blind Forest and above our friend's Legacy of the Wizard and Maze of Gallius at new number 15.
Which reminds me, did you do the climbing out of the water for items, optional stuff?
Not a lot of it. I did do, like, the little bubble path in the ice zone, but that's about it.
Okay, so you didn't do the non-bubble paths. Or actually, I guess the ice zone involves some manipulation.
Yeah, no, it was mostly fine because of the...
It was optional. I really didn't like that.
Yeah, it's not great, but...
So, what you're talking about doing here is you have to use the plant form to make platforms for you to stand on, to then jump and shoot another platform to continue ascending, all to get...
Oof.
At least one of them is just to get a rock egg or a rook egg, and I don't think it... Maybe it was used in some recipe I didn't find.
Yikes. Okay, yeah. No, I didn't do that.
Yeah, I don't know. I found that very frustrating. It was optional stuff, but it was just, I found the logic on where is my jump actually going to take me kind of obnoxious.
Yeah. Okay. No, you've convinced me. It's below Xanadu.
I mean, that was optional stuff, right? Like, the only thing you actually needed to use the jumping on land for was pretty mild, if I recall. You did need to do that to get to the last hidden memory, which unlocks the true ending, if I recall, right?
Oh, okay, yeah.
The one at the top of the Sun Temple.
Oh, right, yeah, no, never mind, yeah. But, I don't know. Again, like, all of this stuff, like, didn't bother me as much. It might be the mouse controls made it a bit easier.
Maybe. I don't know. It was just one of those things where it's like, I know how to do this. I know what I'm trying to do. I feel like in any other control scheme, this would have been easier.
And yet you persisted.
Yes.
Anyway, enough about this game. This game's old hat. I don't care about Aquaria anymore. Get out of here. Get out of the water, and instead, we're going to go to... We've been doing a lot of indie games recently, and it's time to get back to the big boys. You know them, you love them, Nintendo. We're going to try out Kirby and the Amazing Mirror.
Ooh, Kirby and the
Amazing Mirror. Apparently, again, not played it, Metroidvania at least a little bit.
Yeah, it's if I recall, pretty adjacent, not very much of a Metroidvania, but we'll see.
We'll see. Yeah, no. Again, for this kind of thing, even when they don't fully count, I think the aspects of it are at least interesting enough to talk about, and mostly I just want to see my boy Kerbs.
Yeah.
Love the little guy. Just like looking at him.
Yeah. He's a little adorable puff.
Yeah. So, we'll see how that goes next week, or next month. Sorry. But, yeah, that's pretty much wrapping up here. Thank you for listening. If you have any questions, comments, concerns, or foibles, please feel free to contact us on your social media of choice, like us on Facebook, email us at invertedcastlepodcast@gmail.com, on Twitter at invertedcastlep. Never forget the P.
Yeah, I don't know. Write a review on Apple Podcasts. I think that's still a thing. I haven't actually looked at any reviews on Apple Podcasts ever, but...
Yeah, only if it's kind, though, please. I can't take it, but yeah. Shall we sign off then?
Yeah, with that, I've been Thomas Blight.
And I'm Eric Fox.
And don't create civilizations and then destroy them on a whim. That's not cool.
Yeah, make sure you know exactly why you're destroying them.